Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, over the weekend, protests took place over the plan to transfer ownership of the new planned National Maternity Hospital to the Sisters of Charity, who own the St Vincent's Hospital site, where the hospital's to be located. One of those protesting was the writer Graham Linehan. Graham's on the line. Afternoon, Graham.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Now, the current master of the National Maternity Hospital, Ronan Mahoney, and the chairman of the Maternity Hospital, Nicholas Kearns, both say there's nothing to be worried about. There's all sorts of locks on how the company will operate, and there'll be no interference, no religious interference. Does that not comfort you?
No, because I can't remember where I saw this, but I think it was a bishop or possibly the Pope, I'm not sure, recently said that it's the duty of these orders to enforce Catholic teaching. So I don't buy that for a second. And I think that abortion is such a hot-button issue with these people that I just don't think... let me put it this way. You can't afford to take their word for it. You just simply, it's too serious to just trust them on it.
There are, I think it's not just abortion, actually, Graham. There's a whole range of services that possibly, you know, theoretically could be compromised by that.
I'm not up on the ins and outs of what Catholicism does and doesn't allow anymore. I haven't been a practicing Catholic since I was 16. So you'll have to educate me on some of the finer details of it. Not the stuff to do with women, basically. As long as it affects women, then the Catholic Church is all over it.
Yeah. Do you see this as the government acquiescing to the wishes of the Catholic Church, or is it just a kind of a bit of a legal problem and this was the way around it?
Again, I realize, for instance, that the nuns own the land, and there's legal stuff that, again, I'm not 100% up on. So again, you'd have to kind of guide me on a lot of it. But my feeling, in general terms, is that, you know, we have a society where the Catholic Church has managed to dig its fingers very deeply into, you know, the tissue of what holds us together as a country. And they just need to be plucked free, you know, and it's not going to be an easy job. It's going to be difficult. I think there's an argument that they don't need to be plucked free completely. You know, I think the Catholic Church gives a lot of comfort to a great many people. And I think that role is important. And I hope that they, you know, continue to have it. But as far as the nuts and bolts go, as far as the kind of finer details of medical procedure goes, I simply don't think they can be trusted. I think they need to be removed from those aspects of our care.
Yeah, but part of the argument that certainly politicians seem to have been making over the weekend is that if this were to be reversed, you'd be back to square one with getting a new National Maternity Hospital, and that could take years.
Yeah. Well, you know, that, as I say, that the Catholic Church has its, you know, has its kind of... I want to try avoid using negative metaphors, but they're the first ones that spring to mind. But the Catholic Church has its tentacles everywhere, you know, when it comes to Ireland, and it is going to be difficult, you know. But, I mean, I'll tell you, I think that there's one thing. I think they could have made life easier for themselves if they had paid reparations to some of the people who they damaged. I think if they did, I think the thing about Catholicism, everyone knows that if you don't pay for it one way, if you commit a sin, if you don't pay for it one way, you'll pay for it another. And I think that, you know, I think that the lack of accountability will follow the Catholic Church around on all these issues, and everything will be a fight, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think that if there, I certainly would feel a lot better about their promises if they paid up to a few of their victims.
I think that is, it sticks in a lot of people's craw that the Sisters of Charity still owe 2 or 3 million, but they're being kind of gifted a hospital. What happened at the Citizens' Assembly over the weekend, particularly given the experience yourself and your wife Helen had in 2004, are you heartened by the response of the Citizens' Assembly?
Oh, I'm enormously heartened. I think it's wonderful. It just goes to show that, like, you know, when I was a kid, I had a very childish understanding of what abortion meant, and I was very anti-abortion. And then, you know, I read John Irving's book, The Cider House Rules, which is set in America when abortion was illegal, and I discovered the various appalling ways that women who simply could not have a child for various reasons, you know, the things they would go through were just so terrifying and awful that I just kind of grew up. And I think that that's what's kind of happened with the Citizens' Assembly. I think that now that Irish people have the facts, as a country, we've all matured enough to make a proper decision about it. And I think it was reflected in the results. You know, as soon as people realized what abortion really meant, as soon as they saw, I mean, you know, I was very naive when I brought my wife back here. I had absolutely no idea that abortion was illegal, even in the cases of fatal fetal abnormality. And that was so shocking to me, you know. So I think it's just a light has been shown on it. And you know, we're grown-ups now and we can make an informed decision.
Yeah, and I think people were probably surprised by how liberal their eventual adjudications were.
Do you mean the results or
in that such a high percentage, for instance, says, well, you don't need to give a reason. Which probably wasn't expected, I imagine, for a lot of people. They thought they'd come out with something slightly more mitigated than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, why on earth would you need to give it a reason? These are women's bodies, and they're the only things that come under. It's just crazy that it's been in the Constitution, an issue of women's health, you know. And you know, unless we're going to balance this by introducing a few rules about men and masturbation, then I don't think, you know, we can really tell women what to do. To me, it's not liberal. It's just common sense. And it's just that Ireland has been, you know, the thing is, we haven't been talking about it to each other, because the rare cases that have come up into the public eye, the most tragic examples like Civita and the X case, you know, these are the public conversations we've had. But there's a billion private conversations that haven't happened because everyone's been too ashamed. I don't think that'll happen anymore. Yeah. I think everyone's going to start talking to each other, and this kind of ridiculous law cannot survive that kind of conversation.
For those who don't know, Graham, and I don't want to press into this too much, but what was your and Helen's experience in 2004?
Well, you see, our experience was in some ways a positive one, because we were in the UK and we were trying for a child, and we heard that the child had a crania, which means that the skull doesn't form around the child's head fully. So, you know, Helen would have given birth to a child with an exposed brain, and it wouldn't have lived, you know, it would have been seconds alive. You know, you're not talking about hours or anything like that, you're talking about seconds. And when we heard, it was so upsetting and so awful, and the thing that Helen had inside her, we realised, you know, it just was never going to happen. So we had 2 days, a weekend, because we heard on Friday and we had to get the procedure on Monday. And those 2 days were horrific, you know, just walking around, trying to be normal. This kid that we thought we were going to have wasn't going to happen. It was awful, yeah. But it was 2 days because of the NHS, you know. And then, you know, we had our second kid in Ireland, and Helen was at a play group. She told a story to someone, and someone said, you know, you wouldn't have been able to do that in Ireland. And she didn't believe them. I was like, no, abortion's legal, but it's only illegal in terms of, you know, what one would call, I don't know, you know, the false thing of good and bad abortion.
Yeah,
it's only illegal for bad abortions. I was thinking in my naive way, and not that I believe that at all. I want to make that very clear. There's no such thing as a recreational abortion, but you know, I couldn't. It couldn't get. It was just stunning to me, the idea that my wife would have to carry a child that was going to die. We knew was going to die, you know, and that shock is what really that's what started me talking about all this, you know.
Graham Linehan, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Not at all. Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.